Hello, parents. Welcome to today's episode. It is just me, myself, and I today. And I tell you about one simple question that I used and that I often suggest to parents to use to help boost your parenting skills moment to moment, daily decisions. It's going to help. Can't wait for you to hear it. Hello, and welcome to Parenting Post-Wilderness, your guide to parenting struggling teens. I'm your host, Beth Hillman, a mom of five boys, including a post-wilderness teen and a life coach for parents. I will guide you on how to influence lasting change by first understanding the relationship-changing power of focusing on your own behavior instead of futile attempts to control your teens. Parents, the change begins with us. Hey parents, how are you today? Seth is not feeling well, so I am going to do recording by myself. It's been a while. And here is what's on my mind. What happens to parents, I will speak for myself, is we are raising these kids from infants, right? That's what we're doing mostly. And we are in charge of so much. We are in charge of their entire structure of needs, right? Their clothing, their food, their physical safety. We're in charge of so much, everything. They are completely dependent on us for so long. And then as they grow older, it's hard to know what we're still in charge of and what we're not. And how we help them gain more and more independence as they grow older, according to their age, right? Age appropriate for sure. And so many of you know, my youngest is now 8 and he can do many things for himself, thank goodness. And I want to help him continue to do more and more things by himself. The appropriate things, right? And that's so different for every child. Every family, every dynamic, it just depends, right? It depends on whether your child has a mental illness or not, whether they even just have tendencies, you know, what their tendencies are. It's so unique, you know, with your children on when it's time to back off of certain things, you know. When can they dress themselves? When can they feed themselves? What options are we providing in our pantry? Are we like, how come you can't eat healthy? And then we just have Snicker bars and Cheez-Its, you know? You know, are we managing what we can and all of that stuff? So as our children get older and older and older and into the teenage years, we're always, as parents, I think, trying to assess how much do we do? How much do we not do? Where can we let them fail? Everyone's always talking about parents need to let their kids fail. It's like, and I get it, and it's true. But like, what does that even look like? And how can we help them fail better? You know, do we just cut them off, take things away, or do we try to help work with them on things? It's hard. It is hard. It's hard to know what to do and when. And it seems like we're always, you know, they're asking for our help too. Mom, can you help me with this? Mom, that kind of thing. You know, will you do this? I can't afford it. Oh, I ran out of gas. Can you give me a few bucks? It's just this constant decision-making process. Being a parent, it's constant decisions. And it could just become really overwhelming and really hard to know how to not just let them fail, but how can we help them become more independent? And something that's really been on mind is when our children ask us for advice. Now, sometimes they literally use words to ask us for advice, like, hey, mom, what do you think about that? Hey, can I pass something by you? But I think the parents who are listening to my podcast maybe don't have someone that verbal or expressive. Some of the problem is kids are asking through their behaviors. Well, we as parents tend to perceive that they're asking through their behaviors when they're really not asking. I had a mom tell me a little while back about her 14-year-old who is in cheer, and she couldn't find her shirt. Looking, and her room is a bit of a disaster. And so the daughter is looking, cannot find her shirt. What am I going to do? The mom says, do you want me to help you? No, I got it. I can do it. Okay. So she looks, and there is a consequence for the girl not finding her shirt. She doesn't wear her shirt to cheer. She has to run laps. And so the mom is like, oh my gosh, if I can just go in that room, I could find it in a second, and I could just bring it, you know, after school before she goes to cheer, I could just bring it to her. Why wouldn't she be grateful? And so even though the daughter has said, don't go looking for my shirt in my room, or don't go in my room to do that, it's just really tough stuff, right? It's like, do I go? Do I not go? Do I help them? Like, well, if I could find the shirt, like, why wouldn't I just help my kid? Why wouldn't I just do that? Like, I can. Plus, I'm going to totally find it. I'm going to show her. And so we had this discussion about, you know, do you go in? Do you not go in? Do you have a right to go in? Oh, so many questions. And what was interesting is this mom felt like her daughter was asking her for help because she was complaining. I can't find it. She was freaking out. I don't know what to do. I'm going to get in trouble. I'm going to be made to do laps. And so the daughter is complaining. And it really does feel like, you know, she's sort of indirectly asking her mom for help. But the mom, you know, said or asked, you know, do you want me to go in there? No. And then she says no. So it's very, very, very confusing for parents, man alive. So what do you do? Right? What do you do? And I just want to emphasize how hard it is. It is just moment to moment confusion. How much should we help? How much should we not? So the truth is, when we save our kids for whatever reason, especially something like that, it's not do or die, right? T-shirt, no t-shirt, she can run laps. And I actually mean that. Then that might have been an opportunity to let her fail. That might have been an amazing opportunity. And what's so great is the mom didn't. The mom found the shirt, went in her room, found the shirt within a second, took it to school, picked her up from school and said, hey, look, I found it. You know, she's pretty proud of herself, right? And the daughter was, as you can imagine, pissed. So mad. I told you not to go in there. I told you not to find it. So interesting, because she was prepared to reap the consequences of her actions, losing the shirt. She was actually prepared for it. And the mom, because she's just like every other awesome mom, was trying to help. She was just trying to help. But it actually wasn't helpful. It's shocking almost, because the thoughts that were going on in this mom's head, I super related to. Like, yeah, I could find it faster. Yeah, I could save her from this. Why wouldn't she want me to? Check. But that's the problem. Is many times our children, yes, they are complaining, and yes, it's annoying, and oh my gosh, could you just knock that off? But through that, they're not actually asking for our help. What if we just let them complain and freak out? What if we did that? Or, of course, all the options in between of letting them freak out and then helping them, which is, oh, I can see this is really hard for you. I can see that's driving you crazy. You know, what would you like some help figuring that out or not? And if they say no, then that's that. Especially if it's something livable, right? They can live with that. Another example is years ago, we took our boys. This is before the little guy was born. So we had all, let's see, I think it was like, we had, a, I think the Wilder kid, that kid was like 12 and his brother was 14. And then we had, I think, probably a 16 and a 19. I think that's the ages, right? And we went to Havasupai, which is a grueling, but beautiful, amazing 3-4 day camping down in Arizona. And it's unbelievable. It's like a Hawaiian oasis in the middle of dry Arizona. And it is, there's no food. You have to pack all your food in, and you have to, you know, this is what got my son ready for wilderness for sure. We took him on a few things like that, but okay. So we're in there, and it's just, it is gorgeous. And if you've been there, you know what I'm talking about. It is, in fact, just go look it up, Havasupai. It's very hard to get in these days, but we got it in, I don't know, it's been probably 10 years ago. So I lay out all the food. I buy all the food in preparation for this trip. And I say to the boys, you are old enough to pack your own food. I have provided everything you could possibly want while you're down there. But you have to carry it on your back. And food is heavy. Food's like a heavy, heavy thing for backpacking. And so I said, you've got to decide how much you want to carry on your back and how much you're willing to starve. And I said, this is a suggested packing of the food. I had some candy. I had, beef jerky, vegetables, dried vegetables, what are those called? Those wilderness food packs that you dehydrated things, and pita, because one of our favorite things was like tuna, and like tuna in a package, not in a can, and pita bread. And so, we made it very, very clear. This is the suggested food that you pack per day, and we were there watching them, and we triple checked. Are you sure this is all you want to bring? Are you sure you want to bring that much? All the things. And everyone was like, and we even kind of looked like, okay. And we were like, hands off. We said, we will not. There's nothing to buy. We won't be able to buy anything. You will starve. But no one's going to starve because they're all packing food. But basically, we're not going to save them. This is what we say. So we go on this trip. It is just absolutely phenomenal. It was one of the most incredible experiences our family had. And so we are on our second night. And my oldest says, I'm out. We're like, what? He's like, I'm out of food. It's like the second day. Like, what are you talking about? He's like, I ate all my pita. I've already eaten it all. Like, he's like, I mean, I've got a few things. I've got like some beef jerky and stuff, but I'm like, I'm out of my pita bread. We're like, where'd it go? He's like, I got hungry and I ate it. I'm like, you have two more days, son. So because of my unwillingness to let my son reap his consequence, would he have starved? No, he wouldn't have. He had other food to eat. He just didn't have any pita bread, which made it a lot easier to eat the tuna. And it just was something he was sad about. So my other son, our third son, actually, who's quite the backpacker these days, he had extra pita. And I had just witnessed this. I knew that he had extra. So I decide to take over. And I say to the third son, you have to give your pita, your extra pita bread, to our oldest. He's like, no. I'm like, yeah, that's what brothers do. This is what our family does. We share. He's like, no. I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, you told us you would not interfere. You told us to pack our own food. You made that clear we were in charge. I packed extra pita bread for me and I'm keeping it. I was so mad. I thought, what a jerk. What a selfish brat. I cannot believe he's keeping those. Doesn't he understand his brother's going to starve? I was just infuriated. Shockingly, my oldest agreed. He said, I do not want your pita bread. I didn't pack enough and I'm sad about that, but I want to live with my consequences. Shocking. And I said, too bad. Too bad for all y'all. You're going to share. And I mean it. And they were both so mad at me. And I was mad and upset because I could not figure out why they were mad. So this is like, so we're all enmeshed, trying to solve for all the people and feeling all, we're not really feeling, we're just resisting all our feelings and trying to solve for each other. And I was super not on my own turf. And but we think it's our turf because we're the mom. And I remember just a couple hours later, my oldest coming up to me and he's like, "Mom, you have to understand." And he was 19. He had a little bit of cognition, prefrontal cortex growing. He's just like, I need to have this consequence. So I learn to pack my pita bread better. I need to have it, the consequence. I was like, "Are you kidding?" He's like, "No, I have to have it. And I need you to understand that. And you cannot keep asking the other brother for it." I mean, it's, and I know not every children, I know that not every kid's going to do that. I get that. This just was just our experience as a family. And I backed off. I was like, okay. I don't have any extra though. He's like, "I do not want anyone else's. I do not." It's just fascinating to me. And so I didn't, I let it go. I was just like, okay. You're right. I am trying to solve for something that is not mine because I planned, I prepared, I set a boundary. And then who's not following through? Me. I was the one. So I backed off, quite still upset. I was just like, fine, starve if you freaking want to, you know, I was just like, could not figure it out. And that was a long time ago. That's before I knew some of these concepts and tools. And it's still just, we all laugh about that situation because the best part, the best part is that on our way back home, we stopped at a restaurant. I wish I had somebody else to talk to right now because I'd say, guess what it was called? It was called the Mad Pita. I'm not joking. The Mad Pita. And that is where we stopped for lunch. And even that day, we just laughed. And nobody died and nobody starved. So this is an example of trying to save our children, trying to solve for our kids, not letting them fail. Did I think it was do or die? I kind of did. I was like, he's going to starve. But no, I don't think Americans really, I don't know if this is true or not, but I don't know what it's actually like to starve. I don't actually even know what that means. So thank goodness. So seemed very, very important. What's so interesting is I was trying to teach this value of, no, we share as a family. We help each other out. I was trying to throw those values in and not even seeing the natural value of letting our children deal with their consequences. What about that value? I mean, it's just incredible how we sometimes try to change values midlife. So all of this is leading to this idea is, I think as parents, I'd like to offer, we step in way more than we need to. So it becomes the question, and sometimes we don't step in enough. Like, of course that happens too. We are all just human trying to figure it out. So where do we step in? Where do we not? That's the question. I think a lot of times, just moving on to just a slightly different nuanced topic is, but still really goes along, is we tend to pontificate our vast knowledge onto our children at any ready moment. You don't have gas for your car? Oh my gosh, well, I guess I'll just give it to you. Here's $20. You know, don't even ask me again when they actually didn't ask us. Or they did ask us, but we know full well that there was a boundary not to give them gas, but we do anyway. Stuff like that. And then also, we just tend to give advice when it's not wanted or asked for. Just like I was speaking about that mom with her daughter's cheer shirt, the daughter actually didn't say, "Could you help me?" She just was complaining and freaking out. And the mom took that as, "Ugh, I've just got to help you. I can't stand you complaining. So I'm going to solve this for you." But what we're really doing is we're solving for our own feelings as parents. She didn't want her daughter to have to run laps. I get that. But that's not really the mom's decision, is it? That was a boundary laid down by the cheer coach that said, if you don't keep your shirt, you know, if you don't come with your shirt, if you don't figure out where that is, you're going to run laps. That's a boundary and a good one. It's great. So why are we meddling? Why are we stepping in? I think it comes from just always being the one who solved. We've been solving our whole lives for them. And we must at the beginning, absolutely must. You know, when our baby cries, we feed it. That's a completely appropriate. And so it's so hard as we grow and as our children grow up, it's so hard to relinquish that independence over to them because we don't want to hear them cry. So we're just going to feed them. It's pretty interesting. So the thing about advice, I'm going to go into advice for a sec. The external judgment keeps people preoccupied with defending themselves. So if we're talking to our adult kid and we say, oh my gosh, for Pete's sake, would you just brush your teeth? That judgment keeps them defending themselves instead of, well, leaning into themselves. They have their own inner judgment, I promise. And when our external judgment becomes known, it doesn't allow them to hear their inner judgment. So all their attention is turned toward defending our judgment on them and then managing others' expectations instead of them leaning into their own inner critic. Not leaning in, but becoming aware of their own inner critic. And so if we're judging, we're advising, we're taking over, then it just puts them in a position to just constantly defend themselves. They can't listen. They can't hear themselves. But when there is little to no outside judgment, now this is a hard ask, right? But when that can happen, when we are more curious than judgmental, then our kids are allowed to focus on their own feelings and experiences inside them. It gives them space to see what their own inner judgments and their own agenda, their own needs, their own wants is or are. Self-awareness is essential for like genuine internal growth. If we will back off our judgments and be more curious, they will be able to concentrate on their own work in relation to themselves, which totally, just so you know, comes before relating to others. We need to help them turn on their own inner engine to motivate self-governing and to influence independence. So please, I'm not saying just back off and let them take the reins. What I'm suggesting with solving, fixing, advice giving is be as aware as you can on if what you're about to say or do is actually helpful or not. I think that is the day-to-day check-in that we can do as parents is really ask ourselves, is me finding that shirt going to influence more independence for this daughter or less? Is me stepping in and making my kids share their pita bread going to help influence them to be self-governing or more reliant on me? I think that is one of the most brilliant anchor thoughts we can have as parents. And of course, every child, as like I said, every child ages differently. Emotional age, mental age, physical age, it's all just a little different. So there's no one else who will know the answer to that except you as the parent and just really being there for your kiddo, knowing them since they were little and really being able to ask that helpful, just such that helpful question of is what I'm about to do going to give me what we both really, really want, which is an independent, compassionate adult someday. And so it needs to be a bite-sized. Like, I hate to say the leash, the opportunities, bite-sized opportunities. You know, if they're 16, we're not just going to be like, okay, now you have to pay a mortgage. Of course, that doesn't make sense. But can they be, what can they be more in charge of? What else can they be in charge of? And helping them pick up those reins when it's age appropriate. That's the idea today. So take that, I call it an anchor thought, the check-in, that check-in question. Use it, take it, own it, and help yourself be a more supportive parent than an enabling parent. Awesome. Thanks for being with me here, guys. I just here with you. I hear about your struggles. I have your struggles, and I want you to know how much I care. Awesome. Take care. Bye.
Hey there. Thank you for joining me today. If you know a struggling parent, please share this with them. If you have any questions or want to connect with me, you can find me on Instagram at Beth Hillman Coaching or through my website, BethHillmanCoaching.com. And remember, parents, the change begins with us.